We commence reading at the verse number 19, Judges chapter 6, verse 19. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, an unleavened cake of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, put them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet an opera of the Ebersrite. And came to pass at the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the seventh year, a year old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cast down or cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the man of the city saith unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cut down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went in and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. End our reading there, and we know that God shall once again bless his reading to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee this morning, and we thank thee for the truth of thy precious word, for thy word is truth. We ask of thee that thou wilt close out the world as we would, O God, have many things upon our hearts and minds today, but we ask of thee, O God, that you'll shut everything else out and let's just meet with thee. Pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt lead us in our meditation on thy word. Pray the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us as it came upon Gideon. O God, we pray that thou wilt take thy word and convict our hearts, those that know not Jesus Christ, that thou wilt save them. Realize, our God, that this day is reminding us yet once again there is but a step between us and death. And yet, our God, we thank Thee that because Christ lives, that those who love Him shall live also. We thank Thee, O God, the gift that Thou hast promised to Your redeemed people is eternal life. And we shall never perish, neither shall any pluck us out of Your hand. Bless Thy word this morning to us, and just encourage us in the Lord, and help us, Lord, just to abide in Your word, and Your word to abide in us. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. We gather in God's house this morning to listen to His precious word. And I pray the Spirit of God will just close out all other distractions, all other things, even for the rest of this, the Lord's day. And that God would speak to our hearts even as we meditate upon His precious and His holy word here. In the 6th chapter of the book of Judges, I want you to keep it open before you. And I pray that the Spirit of God will just remind us and speak to us of precious things. I said as we concluded last Lord's Day morning, that when we looked at the character of Gideon, we found that there was nothing in Gideon's character of itself that set him out above all the rest of Israel. But it was what God did in Gideon's life and with Gideon's life when Gideon surrendered himself to God and to His blessed will. And friend, there is no difference as we come to open the Word of God today, because in ourselves there's nothing in any one of us that we can boast of, but we thank God that if we but yield our hearts and lives to the Lord, then there is no saying what God can do with us and through us for the glory and the honor of His precious and His holy name. I want you to come to verse number 11 of this passage of God's word. This is really where Gideon, we have the backcloth of the situation in the land at that time and the fear and the destruction. But I want us to look at Gideon, and the first thing I want us to see here was Gideon's visitation. Verse number 11, it says, "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah. And this was an oak which pertained unto Joash, and Joash was the father of Gideon. And Gideon was threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Whenever we meet Gideon, we find that he's in a desperate situation. We find that he's not a man of valor. He's certainly not showing great courage here, because the Bible says that he is threshing wheat, but he's doing it in the wrong place. And he's doing it because of a certain reason. There was fear in his heart. He doesn't go to the threshing floor. It is in the extended or elevated position. Whenever he would take the wheat and he would throw it up into the air, as I said in conclusion last Lord's Day, then the wind would blow the chaff away. And there would be the perfect wheat that would fall upon the floor. But of course he's not in that elevated position, he's away in the winepress. And he's there because it says to hide it from the Midianites. He's there in hiding. It's not the place for threshing, friends. He's there in a place doing something. He's laboring hard, but he's doing something, and he's doing it in the winepress, hiding the crop from the enemy, because in his heart there was fear, in his heart there was defeat, in his heart there was discouragement. But I want you to notice, in the midst of this discouragement, in the midst of this time of defeat and depression in his life, it says in verse 11, "There came an angel of the Lord." The Lord came. Thank God the Lord can come in the midst of our situations. No matter where we are, no matter how we feel, thank God God can come and God can minister to the need. And that's exactly what God did. He came to minister to the need of this young man, Gideon. You know, whenever the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in verse number 12, the Lord said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I have no doubt whatsoever that Gideon would have felt ashamed when the Lord spoke to him in those terms. Now, humanly speaking, if a person talked to you in those terms, you'd think they were mocking you.
He said, "Thou mighty man of valor, friend, where was he? Was there hiding? Why was he hiding? Because of the enemy. And he was threshing the wheat. And he was trying to save the crop from the Amalekites and from the Midianites that had brought oppression upon them for 7 years." Let me tell you, when the Lord said this, and the angel of the Lord said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor," the Lord knew exactly who Gideon was, and he knew exactly what Gideon was doing, and he knew exactly why he was there. But the Lord knew what he could make Gideon. God wasn't mocking him by saying, "Thou mighty man of valor." For God saw exactly what he could make him. He was not describing what he was of himself, but he was describing what God could do with him and how God could use him for the glory and the honor of God's holy and God's precious name. And friend, let me tell you, God can do that with you today. There's a little verse over in Daniel chapter 11 and the verse number 32, and this is what it tells us over in the chapter. It tells us that those that know the Lord shall do exploits. Verse number 32 of Daniel 11. "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits." And I want to tell you, God's going to reveal himself to Gideon. He's going to know the Lord in a very personal way. And because he comes into a personal encounter with God, he is going to be strong and he is going to do exploits. And so God is speaking to him, not in what he is, but what God's going to make him. And God says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Let me tell you, God can change people. Thank God, those that are saved this morning, we know that God can change us, change people because he changed us. I often think of, when I think of Jacob, the Bible tells us that Jacob was a supplanter. He was a twister. And you know what God made him? God says, "Listen, you're no longer called Jacob. God says, I'm going to call you Israel." Because instead of a supplanter, instead of a twister, God says, "You're going to be a prince with God." Isn't that some change? He says, "I'm going to make you a prince." You know, when the Lord looked at Simon, he said, "Listen, thou art Simon." But he said, "You're no longer Simon. Thou shalt be. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 42. Then let me tell you, this is exactly what the Lord did in Gideon's life. When God looked at him, he saw him not as he was, but God saw him what he would make him. And so we find that whenever the Lord met with Saul on that Damascus road, and he changed his name, and he said, Saul said to him, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And he was yielded to the Lord, friend. And God changed him into the mighty apostle Paul. And he proved the sufficiency of the grace of God. There's the visitation of the Lord. Oh, today that we would have a visitation of God today. You know what God would do? He would change us. If we had a visitation of the Lord, oh, that we were yielded to God and we were like Gideon who would surrender to God. Friend, listen, we must be willing. We must be willing to let God make us into what he wants us to be. Oh, we're so rebellious. Maybe we have chosen the plan. Maybe we have chosen what we want to be. Listen, are you willing to let God make you into what he wants you to be? I tell you, that's the best position to be in. That's the best profession to be in, friend. Lord, make me. God said, "Listen, you follow me." He says, I make you to become fishers of men. Thou art Peter, but thou shalt be. Listen, it's not what you are, friend. Listen, it's what God can make you. It's what you shall be. Glory to God, we are going to be changed someday. "It doth not yet appear what we shall, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." And there we see, therefore, first of all, his visitation. Secondly, I want you to notice his vision. Go to verse number 13 of the chapter. And in verse number 13 of the chapter 6 it says this, "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this all befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Notice his vision.
Do you not hear the language of Gideon here? It's a language of doubt and discouragement. It's a language of despair.
Notice his questions. He said, "If the Lord be with us, why then? Why? Why?" And then he not only asks why, he asks a second question. He says, "Where? Where is the miracles? Where are the miracles that God did in our father's day, that our fathers have told us about?"
You know, God told him, he said, "Listen." He said, "The Lord's with thee, Gideon. The Lord's with thee." You know, Gideon protests against God's care, and he has questions in his heart and his mind in unbelief. Because humanly speaking to Gideon here, friend, it seems hopeless. The enemy's so strong. And there seems no way out of this. Listen, 7 long years of oppression. 7 long years of heartache and tears. And when they were about to reap their harvest, the Midianites, the Amalekites, would just sweep upon them and take it all away from them. And friend, he was hopeless. He felt hopeless. He felt in despair. There he was, hiding. Just seeking to gather a little of the grain for his own family. You know, some people believe that because they face difficulties or trials in their lives, that somehow God's not with them. Friend, is that you? Do you feel because you're facing maybe difficult days in your life, and there are a lot of questions in your heart and a lot of questions in your mind, you know that somehow God's not there? Let me tell you, that's a lie of the devil. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with thee. That's what it says. The Lord is with thee.
And friend, the promises of God tell us this. The Lord says, "I will never leave thee." And God says, "I will never forsake thee."
You know, he says, you know, if God were with us, why then? Is that a question that's plaguing your mind this morning? Preacher, if God's with me, why then are these things befallen me? Why am I going through this valley? Why is my body wrecked? Why is the prosperity that once I have enjoyed, why has it left me? Why is it that my family seems to be in destruction? It seems that the family's falling apart.
And you really believe it, preacher? And you say, "God, the Lord is with me." Why then?
Is that the question that's driven you into oppression and depression, despair? Somehow you equate that because of the difficulties, because of the problems, because of the trials, that somehow God's left. Somehow God's gone. Let me tell you, friend, God was there even in the midst of the problems. He was there. Notice what it says. The Lord is with thee. He didn't say the Lord will be with you. He said the Lord is. Brother, he's in the midst of the storm. He's in the valley that we walk through. Thank God the Lord has promised he will never leave his people. But you see, there's something missing here when Gideon asks this question. He says, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
And Gideon's ignoring the real cause of the problem. He's blaming God. God's not here anymore. God's not with us anymore. It's God's fault. Let me tell you, my friend, the reason for the problem that Israel was going through was not with God. It was in his own doorstep. It wasn't God's fault that Israel was in suffering depression and oppression from the Midianites or the Amalekites. It was because of her own sin. That was the problem. It was sin in the camp. It was sin in their hearts. It was sin in the people of God's lives. It wasn't that God had left them. Let me tell you, my friend, the Bible tells us that the Lord delivered them into the hands, verse number 1. God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. It wasn't that he had left them. He delivered them into the hands of the Midianites because of their sin. And instead of dealing with the problem, instead of facing up to the problem, he says, God, if the Lord's with us, why then? They ignored the cause of the problem. Let me tell you, the Lord's the solution. But let me tell you, my friend, you've got to let go. You've got to let go, and instead of blaming God for your problem, blaming God won't bring your solution. It's confessing your sin that will bring God's pardon and God's peace to your heart. And then he not only said, God, why? He says, God, where? Where? He says, where be all his miracles which your fathers told us of? You see, let me tell you, friend, Gideon knew, because Gideon had heard of what God did in the past. He had heard about the miracles of God. He had heard how God had wonderfully intervened in the past. And he said, listen, if God be with us, where are the miracles that God did in the past which our fathers told us of? And he had another problem. Because you see, Gideon mistook God's will for God's power. Because what Gideon was saying, listen, if God's with us, then there should be the miracles. Then let me tell you this. God was able to work the miracles. It wasn't a lack of power. God is the same. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. God was able to show the miracles. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And then notice something else. You know how he summed it all up? He not only said why, he not only said where, but this is what he said. Go on down the verse. But now the Lord hath forsaken us. You know, sometimes problems in our lives and difficulties in our lives can make our minds just go so askew, friend, we don't see reality, do we? Listen to me carefully. The secret of all of their problems was this. It wasn't that God had forsaken them. It was they had forsaken God. But he turned it around, didn't he? He can't see it clearly anymore. Because of the fear, because of the despair, because of the trials, because of the problems, because of the Midianites, because of the Amalekites. And he has turned it upside down. And he said, God hath forsaken us. Instead of saying, listen, the problem is we have forsaken God.
It wasn't God who was unfaithful, friend. For he's a faithful God. It was Israel in their going after Baal and Ashtaroth. They had forsaken God. You know, it's amazing sometimes people can see things upside down when there's a problem in their heart. You know, sometimes there's those in the church and they say, you know, the church doesn't care. And really, that's their excuse, friend. Let me tell you this. It's not that the church doesn't care for them, it's that they don't in reality care for the church. That's really the problem. But everybody else is to blame. Everybody else is at fault. Everybody else is out of step. And the sin that they accuse others with is the sin that they commit abundantly themselves. And that's exactly what's happening here in Gideon's life. And Gideon had a problem in his heart and it needed to be dealt with. And friend, instead of seeing the problems, he needed to see the providence. But notice how God answers him. Because he has so many questions and so many problems. And God answers him with a promise. Go to verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him. See, God saw his very heart and God knew what was going on in his heart. And the Lord looked upon him and he said, go in this thy might. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And God gives him a promise, friend. And God says, listen, go, Midian. Go, Gideon. Go in this thy might. Instead of lying down under the problem, you've got to do something about it. You've got to hear the commission. You've got to hear the command. Gideon, go! There is no higher authority than this commission, friend. The selection of Gideon was totally of God. And God personalizes the commission, doesn't he? He says unto Gideon, he says, go in this thy might. Now let me tell you, some people must understand those words, go in this thy might. In actual fact, what he was not saying was go in your own might, Gideon. But go in the might and the strength of this promise that the Lord is with thee. That I have commissioned thee. That I have told thee to go. The strength which would Gideon had was the strength which Jehovah God had given him by being with him. That was the sufficiency for the need. That was the sufficiency for the hour. And thank God we can say, like Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can. I can do all things. Friends, let me tell you, he's bigger than all of your problems. He's bigger than all of your fears. And so God says to him, he said, listen, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. You don't have to be under oppression. You don't have to be under the heel of the Midianites. The Midianites can be defeated. They're not stronger than God is, and they're not stronger than you are, Gideon, when you stand in the power and in the might of God. No longer in your own strength, but in my strength. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. But you know, sadly, this doesn't really get through to Gideon, does it? Gideon's still caught up with himself. Verse 15, he said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. God never talked about him that he'd chosen because he was rich. God never talked about his possessions.
He says, I'm poor. My family's poor. But God, I'm even worse because I am the least. I'm the least in my father's house. So there's not much in me, is there, God? God, you're making a mistake. I'm no use. Nothing I can do. You know, there's an awful lot of people excuse themselves for doing nothing for God, friend. Say, I haven't this talent, I haven't that talent. I'm not richer, I'm the least. And friend, I tell you this, you demean yourself. Mind you, let somebody else demean you to see how the back gets up. And how the hackles get up and you'll sort of fight back. But you know, this sounds good. You know, I'm the poor. My family's poor. And you know, there's nothing really I could do. I can't really do anything to deliver Israel. And I really couldn't face the Midianites because my family's the poorest of all the tribes. And he said, you know, I'm even the least of my father's house. Friend, excuses. God never called Gideon because he was anything. And friend, let me tell you this. If you think that you are something before God, then God will not use you. Because God takes the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why does God do that? That no flesh shall glory in his presence. And with this I close, I know time's away. But notice what God says in verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely, listen, Gideon, I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Notice the secret of success, friend. And friend, I'm speaking to you this morning. I'm speaking to every child of God this morning. The secret of success lay not in what Gideon was or was not. But the secret of Gideon's total success in who God was. The secret of success is the Lord. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He can do for you. Will you let God take over in your life, friend, this morning? Will you get we're talking about his vision. Get your eyes on the Lord. Everything else will disappoint you. I tell you, I don't care who they are. Everything else, everyone else will disappoint you. And I'll tell you, the biggest disappointment will be yourself. But God says, surely, I will be with thee. You can count on me. And when everybody else has disappeared, you can count on me. And God can do great things. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So this morning, leave aside your discouragement. If you came to God's house discouraged, maybe oppressed by situations, by circumstances, by problems that are pressing upon you. Friend, listen, lay them aside this morning. And just come to the Lord. And lift your eyes to him. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Heavenly Father, there are many of your children
in thy house this morning that in their lives and their circumstances in the house of God are discouraged. And Father, we confess that so often all we have seen was the problems. Heavenly Father, they seem so big. Family problems. Personal problems. Church problems. Work problems. And God, we must confess this morning, they have been consuming. They have been taking over our lives, and they've been, Lord, they've been bringing us to defeat and discouragement and despair, and we've lost the happiness, we've lost the joy, we've lost the thrill. We've lost the excitement of walking with God and knowing Thee. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name this morning, take away our discouragement, and oh God, just lift our eyes to Thee. And oh God, give us the joy of knowing that the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless your people not with defeat, but oh God, with triumph, with victory. There's victory in Jesus. And oh God, as we go into this week and, oh Lord, we go out to serve thee. Oh God, we pray that we'll not go out to do it in our own weak, miserable way, but oh God, we'll go out in your power and your blessing, the anointing of your Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Oh God, you can change us. Bless our families. Bless our homes. Bless the church family. And oh God, we pray that we'll see the Lord in the midst. Lord, we know that when thou art in the midst, and you are, but oh God, reveal yourself. You've done it in your word, and we take your promise, and we just claim the promise today. And you answered Gideon's problems with a promise. And today, Lord, we have many promises. And we claim them in Jesus' name. And for his glory alone.